Good to see you here this morning. We are saddened today that it is Angela Burrell's last Sunday with us. We're going to miss Angela and Robert a great deal. Robert's going to stay with us, though, but we'd rather keep Angela. Can you just go? Angela will be going to Mississippi, and Angela has been wanting to go to Mississippi, and it's an answered prayer for her, and we're thankful that that prayer has been answered, although the selfish side says we sure would like to keep them here. Pray for the very best for them, and she has asked that we also pray for Robert that he gets a job down there as soon as possible so that he can come down there and she can make sure he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Be sure and say something to Angela today. You know, we also need to, talking about Mississippi, and I asked Angela if her parents have been affected any by the hurricane, and she said they had not, and we're thankful for that. But we do have a lot of brethren and a lot of other people that have been affected in terrible ways, and we need to remember them in our prayers as well, that they'll have comfort and strength in the days ahead. I already know that disaster relief has already got trucks three trucks already down there in the area, and we're thankful for that work and helping people out in these very difficult situations when disasters strike. Also, today is Jenny and mine's second year anniversary with you guys. We came here 2 years ago. For me and Jenny, it's been wonderful because it's been fun and we've enjoyed it and it's went fast. I know for some of you, you're going two long, long years. You know, if you ask me how long we've been married, I go, 19 years. Yes. Jenny goes, 19 years. And I know that's how some feel about this, but we are very thankful to be here. We love you. We love the family here and look forward to many, many years in the work here. In a book filled with numbers, we find a beautiful gem of Scripture that has been called the Lord's Prayer of the Old Testament. And it says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace." As noted in Numbers chapter 6 and verses 22 through 27, it is the blessing of the Lord that Aaron and his sons were to confer or to give upon the children of Israel at times when they came together. Aaron and his sons made up the priesthood for Israel. Therefore, the passage has been called the priesthood blessing, or the priestly blessing, or the Aaronic benediction. In this passage, I believe we learn things about the Lord that are just as true today as they were then when Aaron would speak those words before the children of Israel. And even though we do not live under the old covenant with its Aaronic priesthood, we do have today a high priest who confers and desires to bless us even more richly than the priesthood of the Old Testament. To understand what I mean, let's first look more closely at that priestly blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The word bless means to confer upon you well-being or to confer upon you prosperity. And the promise of such blessings, though, as we see them in the Old Testament, did not just mean that God was just going to give it to you for no reason. They were conditional. Deuteronomy chapter 28, open your Bibles there. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning with verse 1, says, "Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God." Okay, there's the condition. "Now it shall be, if you diligently," always, with all of your ability, "do the will of the Lord," or obey the Lord your God, "being careful to do all His commandments, which I commanded you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beast, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And it concludes these list of blessings that God will do if you meet the conditions at the first of diligently obeying His commandments. Down in verse 14, He concludes and says, "The Lord will make your head, make you the head and not the tail, and you only will be above, and you will not be underneath. If you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them." It's this incredible list of blessings. I love this text, actually. It's an incredible list of blessings of what God says, "I will give you," but it begins with "if." It's a condition. If you will do what I have said. Now, failure to meet God's conditions brought curses and punishments, not blessings. Look further down in the text, verse 15, beginning there. God continues on to say, "But it shall come about if you do not obey the Lord your God to observe and to do all His commandments and His statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out." And He continues another 48 verses with the curses that will come upon an individual if they turn away from God, if they do not do the things that God has commanded. His wrath will come upon them. And let me tell you, friends, God has not changed. The God that spoke those words is still the God of heaven today. And His attitude toward obedience and disobedience has not changed one bit. Heed His words and He will bless you. Reject His words and you will know the severity or the wrath of the living God. He goes on, says, "Not only the Lord bless you, but the Lord keep you." And that word "keep" means to provide care and to guard and to protect. There's a beautiful text in the Psalms, in Psalm 121 in verses 1 through 8, that speaks of God's care, and it says this, "I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you shall not slumber. Behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever." David would say in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he would go on in that wonderful text to describe how the Lord took care of the flock, how He kept the flock. And here in Psalm 121, it is the same thing. He's like a shepherd guarding, providing, and caring for the sheep that are in His fold. The benediction calls upon God to keep watch over the nation of Israel. Then he says, "The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you." To make His face shine indicates God's smile of favor upon His people, evidenced by His being gracious. Note how it is used elsewhere in Psalm 31 and verse 16. The writer says, "Make your face to shine upon your servant. Save me in your loving kindness." In Psalm 80 and 3, "O God, restore us and cause your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved." To be gracious means to not just look upon us with favor, but to bestow favor upon us, to give us certain things, especially those things that we cannot obtain ourselves or those things that we do not deserve. To give us those things that are unmerited. The parallelism of this benediction suggests that favor refers to the blessing and keeping by the Lord mentioned previously. perhaps emphasizing that such blessings, while unmerited, are still conditioned, is something for us to know and to understand today. That God wants to bless every man upon this earth, that He wishes for all to come to repentance, but He does expect them to come to repentance. That is a condition. He does expect them to change their lives. He does expect them to do His will. And then all the blessings that He can give to us, including the great blessing of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, He will give to us because we have done what He desires for us to do. He says, "The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." To lift up His countenance may be similar to smile, to smile upon you. As such, it suggests pleasure and it suggests affection. It also suggests to us approval of what we're doing, recognition of who we are. Approval in the days of the time that Aaron said this, approval of the nation of Israel because they're doing as God would have them to do, a recognition of them being His people. I will be your God and you will be my people. To recognize that. The word peace is not just the absence of war. Sometimes we think about that. Peace, I should have a life of peace. That means everything should be just going perfect for me and I should just be calm and everything's easy. That's not what peace means when we read it in the Bible. But a positive state of rightness is what it means. A fullness of well-being. For the nation of Israel, God had promised peace if they were faithful in Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 6. And there was also peace for the individual who trusted in God. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, Isaiah says, "The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you." That God would have Aaron and his sons bless the children of Israel with this benediction indicates that God really wanted to bless them. He so wanted to bless them. And the only people that ever got in the way of God blessing this people was the Israelites. They kept God from being able to bless them as He wanted to. And today, if you're not receiving the blessings of God, there is only one person that's keeping you from receiving those blessings, and that's you, because God wants to bless you. He wants to bless me. He wants to bless all mankind. Well, how about today? How do we bring this down to today? How do we bring this to the New Testament times and this great priestly blessing for today? The Lord bless you and keep you. Indeed, the Lord does desire to bless us. And today those blessings come through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Every spiritual blessing. Everything you can be spiritually can only come through Jesus Christ. You can't find it anywhere else. You can't find it in your own mind, in your own intellect. You can only find it through Jesus Christ and His words. Any other way will be futile and have not the results that you would desire. They come especially, these blessings come especially to those described in the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are they that are poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that are persecuted. You know, he goes through all these and we see these blessings and how they are to be blessed. The mourn are blessed with comfort. Those that hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed in that God will fill them up with all that they need. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The peacemakers are blessed in that they are considered as sons of the God of heaven. And Jesus finishes that great text, the Beatitudes, with the greatest blessing of all when He says, "For great is your reward in heaven." We see that opportunity, that time, and that day that we all hope for, that we'll get to be home with God. I don't want to go to heaven because there's no death. I don't want to go to heaven because there's no pain. I don't want to go to heaven because there's no sickness. I don't want to go to heaven for those reasons. I want to go to heaven because I'll be with Jesus Christ. And if you want to go to heaven for any other reason, don't go to heaven just to keep from going to hell. That's not a good reason either. If you want to go to heaven for the right reason, and that is to be with the one that loved you so much that he died for you. To be with the Father that loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die for you. Go to be with God. I see being with God as heaven itself. I love to be with my mother and my father and to see them. I love them. I love to be with them. I tease them and tell them that, you know, they're staying too long. But I love to be with them. I love to see them. How much more will that be with God one day? Look so forward to that. And the Lord desires to provide and to care for us. Again, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus describes this in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 25 through 32. He says, "Do not be anxious for what you're going to eat," right? He says, "For the birds do not toil, and they do not sow, and they do not reap, and yet the Father in heaven feeds them." Are you not much more important than birds? "And do not be anxious for what you will wear. For the lilies of the field, God clothes them, and they don't sow and they don't spin, but yet they are arrayed in finer dress than Solomon himself. And yet they bloom today and are thrown in the fire tomorrow," right? Are you not much more important than the grass of the field? Jesus said, "Take care of you." But remember there in Matthew chapter 6 as well, we sing the song, but we don't always apply it to the text. Those blessings were conditional. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It is implied there that if you do not seek first His kingdom and you do not seek His righteousness, Psalm 119 says His righteousness are all His commands. If you do not seek these things first in your life, then you will not have those blessings conferred upon your life. So God's blessings are still conditional. He says, "The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you." Just as all spiritual blessings come through Jesus, so God's grace is now manifested through His Son. John chapter 1 and verse 17, John writes, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized, seen, manifested, made seen in Jesus Christ." God's grace had always been there, but it was seen in the man Jesus Christ. And ultimately, He became the reason why grace has the power to save. Yes, God desires to show His smile of favor upon us, but it is imperative that we not receive it in vain. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verses 1 through 3, "And working together with Him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Give no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited." Today is the day to live for God. Now is the time to give your life to God. Now is the day. For you are not promised a tomorrow, and neither am I. And yesterday doesn't matter. Because you could have been the most righteous person in the world yesterday, but if you go off and you don't live righteously today, yesterday doesn't help you one bit. It's today. You live today for God, that He might bless you. How sad that God's grace is so freely offered, yet so few accept His graciousness and grow, and how few know the shining of Him upon them. The Lord lift up His countenance, upon you and give you peace. You know, through Christ, peace with God is possible. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Through prayer, God bestows peace through His Son. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, Paul wrote, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So many people say, I don't know peace. Have you prayed? Now, I'm not talking about one of those prayers that you fall asleep on God, right? Anybody ever done that? laying in your bed, go, oh, I got some time here, I might need to pray. And you start to pray, but you fall asleep before the amen. I don't know. It doesn't bother me if you fall asleep on me. No, I don't take that personally. You're just tired. I know it's not my lesson, because they're always riveting. But I'd be careful falling asleep on God, right? If your life doesn't know peace, ask yourself, have I prayed? Do I pray daily? Do I do as Daniel did, who had very difficult times in his life, pray 3 times a day? Do I pray without ceasing? My life, a constant prayer to God, constantly acknowledging God in my life and what He can do in my life and how that He can lift up His countenance and give me peace. The Father is willing to give us peace, but are we willing to ask Him for it? Are we willing to go to Him and do those things that He says will provide us peace? Now, we've been talking this morning about the priestly blessing. How God wanted to bless Israel under the old covenant. And through His priest and the Aaronic priesthood, He conferred the blessing to the people. And we have noted that the same sort of blessings are available to us, but the blessings of God are bestowed through His Son, Jesus Christ, who today is our high priest. Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 14 through 16 tells us that He is not just a high priest like the priest of the Aaronic priesthood, but He is a high priest that truly understands. A high priest that understands how to not only live this life, but to live it perfectly. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. I'm not going to ever understand everything you're going through. You might tell me what you're going through in your life, and I may not understand it. It's not because I don't care. It's not because I'm callous. It's just because I may not understand it. I may not have ever gone through it. I may not have any point of reference in my own mind. And there are things you could tell me about that I would be able to sympathize. Maybe I've gone through them myself. And that can be frustrating in our lives sometimes, trying to find that person that can truly empathize, truly understand, at least it's to some degree or a good degree, what I'm going through. But for the Christian, that search is short. Because there may not be anybody in this room this morning that understands the difficulties of your life. But I can guarantee you Jesus Christ does. So often He's the one we forget. You know, I heard a song one time. It's a religious song. It says, now I turn to you, Jesus. No, you should have turned to Him first. He shouldn't be the last resort. He's the first resort. You don't look to your friends and look to your family and look to people here at the church and then go, well, nobody here could help me. I guess I'll go ahead and just pray to Jesus. No, you should have prayed to Jesus first. Maybe He'll bless us with the ability to help you. But He's first. And He's been through it. He's lived it. He understands it. And He wants to help. The point of this lesson is simple, yet profound. If you desire the priestly blessing today, you must be in Christ. He must be your high priest, and for that is how God is blessing His people today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Are you in Jesus Christ? We read that blessing from God's Word to us today, and yet it only means something if you're His. If He can say, that's one of my children. Jesus Christ died today so that you could receive the great blessing that the priestly blessing offers. You can become His child today. He can be your God, and you can be His child. By believing in Jesus Christ, by repenting of your sins, to change your life. This is the condition that God has placed upon these blessings. and you can't merit them, and you don't deserve them, and you don't deserve what Jesus Christ did for you, but God offers you the blessings anyway if you meet His conditions to change your life to be what He would have it to be, to confess Jesus as the Son of God, to be buried in baptism, having the sins of your life, those times in which you have fallen short, you have come short of the glory of God, have those things removed, and to remove the separation of sin between you and your God, so that you are no longer dead, but you are alive. To be raised from that water grave by baptism, just as Jesus Christ raised from the dead, raised to be a new person, to be a Christian, to walk a new life. If you want that this morning and you want the blessings that the high priest Jesus Christ offers to you today, we stand ready to assist you. If you need to study God's Word, ask anyone in this building and they will point you to somebody that can help you. We want to help you because Jesus Christ wants you to be helped. If you're a child of God today and maybe you've forgotten how wonderful it is to have a high priest like that, to have someone on your behalf, between you and God. Maybe you've forgotten that He's the most important thing. Maybe you've forgotten He has to be first. Come back to Him today. Repent of those sins. Confess them. Know that He is faithful and just to forgive you. If we can assist you in any way this morning, won't you let us, as we stand and as we sing.